The one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through that promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Amen. Praise be to God. What a day that will be. Are you looking forward to that day? What else is there to look forward to? Amen. How many has a prayer request today as we go to the Lord? I have a special prayer request here from Brother Jamie for Sister Sonia and his family. Just hold them up in prayer. God knows everything, doesn't he? And you hold your prayer request up as we go to the Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before your throne of mercy today. We boldly come to the throne of grace, not because we're worthy, but because you told us to come in your word, Lord. And Lord, the only reason we come is because of our confidence and our faith in that sacrifice of Calvary. Nothing in our arms we bring, Lord, simply to the cross we cling. We claim nothing but the blood of Jesus. But Lord, we realize that when we cross over this veil of this life and we get to the other side, people will realize the value of faith in Calvary. They'll realize the value of the blood of Christ. And Lord, we've caught a glimpse of that on this side. And so we boldly come and we ask you to have mercy on us, Lord. We ask you to forgive us of our sins. Lord, you see all the unspoken prayer requests today. My hands up too, Lord. Lord, we all have loved ones. We all have trials, Lord. Lord, we pray for Sister Sonia and Jamie's family, Lord, that you would go and destroy the works of the devil and be a savior today, O God. Help each and every one of us, Lord. Deliver us. Save us. Set us our feet on the right path, O God. Help us to have the right priorities and to think in a sober mind, O God. Take away out of us, Lord, all that grieves you and is against you and works against your kingdom. Help us, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I ask you to bless the reading of your word today. Bless your word. Take control of my being, Father. Visit us today, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While we're standing, let's turn to the book of Acts, chapter 2. Praise the Lord. Appreciate comments of different ones about the messages we've been focusing on. And really, to me, this is the Holy Ghost taking us through a path. It's not something I imagine, but I believe it's something God wants us to look at. And not just in vain. I believe there's promises that are yet to be fulfilled. So the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 1, very familiar to us today. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. I'd like to just say, I believe I feel that today. I feel we're in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. You may be seated this morning. God bless you. I'm under great expectations, and I trust that you are too, because I do believe we're living at the end time. I believe that Jesus is coming. And he'll come at a time that people think not. He'll come as a thief in the night. The world won't know, but the bride will know because he's catching her away. And we are not children of the night. We're children of the day, right? We're watching. We're waiting. We should be sober and vigilant, realizing the devil's just seeking whom he can devour right now. But I don't believe we're part of that destruction. I believe we've been called to the grace of God to be saved, and to be caught away. And so I want to see every one of you in the rapture. And so today, it's not my intention as we go through these subjects to cover every detail, because it would be impossible. It would take months on justification, on sanctification, on the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and all the aspects of it. But to me, I feel compelled to look at these things, and I do not claim to know everything, but I do know this: it's critically important. And when I think of what the world is focusing on today, what the people of the world that really don't know God, even people that are amongst the Christian world that don't really have access to the light in this day, I feel like people are focusing on the wrong things. They're focusing on money, on gain, on power and popularity, on appearance, and all these entertainments. And the original sin was, we know what that was. It was a sexual act, and this world's caught up into that. But that's not what should be filling our minds right now. We should be focusing on getting out of here. And there's only one way to get out of here, and that's to have that token. And that token is the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So we're going to talk about today the baptism of the Holy Ghost experience. And I add that word experience because I believe it is an experience. I believe it's an event. And so we're going to get into it today. And I imagine we'll continue on today talking about different aspects of that. But I just want to talk about it today. And I'll tell you, my heart is stirred. I can't explain it. In the office in there, I was praying. And I'll be honest with you. I'm asking God to visit us.
Amen.
And you may not have that same expectation, but I do.
Amen.
I believe Amen. That justification by faith, it's simply something that happens. It's a revelation from God by faith through grace, right? By grace through faith. It's not something we earn, but it's something that happens to us. When Luther was reading the scriptures and he realized, you know what? It's not all these works.
Right.
It's my faith in what he did for me.
Amen.
It's my faith in that sacrifice at Calvary. That's what it's about. And when he realized he was justified in the sight of God, he was as he should be in the sight of God. He was as righteous as God, not by his works, but by his faith
Amen.
In Calvary. He got excited about it.
Amen.
And how much time does that take for someone to catch that? And then for Wesley to come along and not do away with anything Luther did, but he took that truth and he believed that same truth, and he rose to a higher level where he realized there was a sanctification, there's a cleansing that takes place.
Amen.
By faith, by the grace of God through faith. And Wesley, the church age messenger for that truth, believed in instantaneous sanctification. He believed in an experience as well.
Amen.
And then we know that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is it's a gift of God.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost is a gift.
Amen.
On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost came, and then Peter preached, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but I feel good today. So he's preaching, and the people were pricked in their heart, and they said, "What shall we do?" He said, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." See, so I don't believe this is something that you need to put in labor many, many years of. I believe it's something, if you believe right, God will give you the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I believe if we create an atmosphere today together, you and I together, of faith, that God will visit us and confirm that faith today.
Amen.
Today. So that's my expectation. And I'm looking forward to what God will do.
Amen.
What God will do. I want more experiences with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
See, even if you had an experience with the Holy Ghost, you want more.
Amen.
And I tell you, I never met anybody that I believe had the Holy Ghost but didn't want another experience with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Never met anybody that would say, "Well, yeah, I had an experience with the Holy Ghost many years ago, and once was enough for me." I never, never, never met anybody like that, because it's just not that way. He gives us a taste of himself, and we want more.
Amen.
And in the book of Acts, you know, they were baptized with the Holy Ghost, and then it happened again, and the whole house shook where they were sitting. I pray that the whole house shakes where we're sitting.
Amen.
He's able to keep the walls standing up.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. So we're excited today, and I think it's good. It's good to be zealously affected in a good thing.
Amen.
Right? Because think about what, look around your life in the world. People are focusing on the wrong thing. This that we're dealing with today, I'm going to say, because I believe it, is the most important thing in your life.
Amen.
It's not, your job is important because you need to work and you have to have a job and your family is important and your relationships are important. But listen, we're talking about the end time of the Gentile dispensation.
Amen.
When there's going to be a people that do not die but are changed in a moment.
Amen.
In the twinkling of an eye. And they're caught up to be with the Lord. They're caught up into all the seven church age bride that is pulled out of each church age. I do believe there'll be individuals out of each church age that are part of this bride. Even in the Old Testament, there's chosen and elected ones, I believe, part of the bride of Christ.
Amen.
And to think to be privileged to be part of that, it's not something we earn, but it's something that happens to us. It's a gift of God. So, I really want to look at this today. I don't think there's anything more important. Just as in the days of the first Exodus, it did not matter if they were really Jewish believers. It did not matter if they believed Moses. It did not matter that they made the sacrifice. But the blood had to be on display. The token was not just that a sacrifice was made. The token was that the blood was applied, that the blood was on the door. See, when the death angel came, he said, "When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. When I see the token on display, I'll pass over you." So today, the token is not the literal physical blood on our physical door, but it's the life that was in the blood of Christ on display in our life. See, because we know that the blood has to be applied. The token has to be on display. See, there should be something visible. There should be something visible. The literal life, the actual literal life of Christ must be on display on our tabernacle.
Amen.
And the only way for this to happen is when we receive the genuine experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. How many wants it?
Amen.
I don't care if you already had it, you still want it again.
Amen.
Again and again and again. So, what is the Holy Ghost? It's a token, but it's a promise. The Holy Ghost is a promise. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's a promise of God. The Holy Ghost is a promise. The Holy Ghost is a sign. Just like circumcision was a sign. Abraham was circumcised. He had to circumcise all the men, and right, and then the babies on the eighth day. Circumcision was a sign to Abraham that God had received his faith, and he gave him, God gave him the seal of circumcision.
Amen.
And that's a type of the Holy Ghost, where what all that we can do is believe God. That's all we can do is believe correctly. And when we do believe correctly, we look to Calvary, nothing in my arms I bring, simply to the cross I cling, not my works, not what I have done or what I will do, but it's all about what he has done for me, and I'm solemnly trusting, completely trusting in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And when we believe correctly, then the life that was in our sacrifice comes back into the believer.
Amen.
So it's a sign that your faith was correct. The inspector goes through the rail car before he puts what? The seal. It's a promise. It's a sign. It's a seal. Brother Branham preached a series on the Holy Ghost in 1959. Wonderful messages. If you have never heard, even if you have, it's good to listen to them again. In December of 1959, what is the Holy Ghost? What's the Holy Ghost given for?
Amen.
He questions and answers on the Holy Ghost. So, it's interesting to me, and we'll talk about it later, that he left off the part where he talked about how do I get the Holy Ghost and how do I know I have it. He withheld that tape. It's one of the most popular questions at youth camps or even adult camps. People want to know, how do I know I got it?
Amen.
And see, I think there's a reason why Brother Branham withheld the tape. Let me just say it now. It's pressing on me. Brother Green told me that if you've ever listened to Brother Branham's tapes, you know Brother Branham had an experience in an old shed. How many remembers that? And he got so excited. He was just simply coming to God. The simplicity of the way we need to come to God, just as little children. He said, I've been bad, mister. I've done bad things. And he's trying to hold his hands right. And please, I want to be forgiven. He wrote a letter and stuck it on a tree. You don't have to be complicated. Actually, being complicated hinders you having an experience with God. If you be simple as a child, be very simple when you approach God by faith, saying, I know he's a person and he can hear me. And the cross came into that shed and spoke in an unknown tongue. And he said, I don't understand your language, sir, but if I'm forgiven, could you come back? And it's all right if you speak in that unknown language, but if you come back, I'll know I'm forgiven. And the cross came back. And he said he had a release. He had a load lifted off him. He was so happy. He ran in the house, and his mom said, what's wrong? He said, I can't even explain it. He tried to read his Bible. He couldn't. He ran down the railroad tracks. How many knows that's true?
Amen.
He had an experience. Brother Green told me that Brother Branham was worried or concerned if he told people too many details that they would wait to have the same exact experience he had. You see, people want to know because it is the most important thing in your life. But remember, humans, they want to know to the place where they have an evidence. That's how the Pentecostal groups got to, I spoke in tongues, it means I got it. But we found out many spoke in tongues and didn't have it. See, and Brother Branham cautioned us, if you study throughout the whole message, against trying to find an evidence. Because I believe that goes against the scripture where it says, if any man draw back from faith, my soul will have no pleasure in him. And when you say, I spoke in tongues, I got it, or I had a rain-pelting experience, Brother Branham said he had this experience. And Brother Green said, I believe, if I remember correctly, that Brother Branham told Brother Green, if I tell that, everybody will wait for that. And so therein lies the danger sometimes of listening to somebody else's experience. And many people with good intentions tell their experience in getting the Holy Ghost. And other people say, well, I have to have it just like that. Listen, you just have to have an experience with God.
Amen.
The fruits of your life after will tell you what it was. But don't try to have the same exact experience as somebody else.
Amen.
So, I believe that's why he withheld the tape, how to get the Holy Ghost, and how do I know I have it? Because people would focus on that to such a place where it would go too far into trying to have the same exact experience that he had. Listen, what we need to do is approach God the same way, in simplicity, in real repentance, in sincerity, not with, Brother Branham said, not in prayers that rhyme for someone else to hear, but in heartfelt prayer.
Amen.
Speak to God from your heart. Oh, don't you want that, an experience with God? I think there is nothing greater in our life that we can have. So we see when we look at, I'm excited today.
Amen.
For you. You have to pray for me.
Praise
oh, God, help us. You know, we're not here in vain.
Amen.
We're not here in vain.
Amen.
I don't believe that. When we look at the day of Pentecost, the birth of the New Testament church, how many knows that's true? That's the birth of the New Testament church. We can see they were waiting for something. Can you see that? They were waiting for something to happen. Oh, they were waiting for that promise, that sign, that seal, that covenant.
Hallelujah.
They were waiting for the rest.
Amen.
He is the rest.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Waiting for the Comforter. The Comforter. Amen. Oh, everything we need is in the Holy Ghost. And you may not understand. You may have financial needs, physical needs, spiritual needs, all kinds of needs in your life. Everything you need of is in the Holy Ghost. And everything you need, He paid for at Calvary.
Amen.
It's not one thing you need to earn. You need to believe He already paid for it, and it's yours.
Amen.
Acts chapter 1, verse 1. Let's read that, Sean. Acts 1, 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which He was taken up, after that He, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom He had chosen, to whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which He saith, ye have heard of Me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence.
Hallelujah.
Wait for it. It's coming in a few days. This event, this experience. Brothers, sisters, it can come to us today. It can come to us today. We don't have to wait a few days. But back then, look what Jesus is saying to them. For as John truly baptized with water, ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of Him, saying, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power. Verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto Me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. Taken up. All you got to do is read that verse to John McKinstry, and he gets excited. Jesus was taken up into a cloud. Pray, and the angel said, He's coming back in like manner. Amen. There's something about the clouds, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Taken up into a cloud. How many believe this actually happened just that way? I believe it happened just that way. I can't explain how those men recorded it exactly right, but I believe they recorded it just exactly right. Now, can you imagine being there? I'd like to place you to place yourself in their shoes after seeing Jesus alive, after you had seen Him crucified. Imagine that you had been there at that day at Calvary, and you saw Him crucified, you saw Him in pain, you saw the thorns, you saw the blood, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, you know, and why hast Thou forsaken Me? And then it is finished, and the life went out of Him, and He was dead. His body was dead, and He was taken down from the cross, and He was buried in a tomb. And imagine knowing all this. Knowing that He was dead and buried, but then you also know that He raised from the dead.
Amen.
You are first-hand witnesses. You saw that He died. You saw that He was buried. And you saw that He was resurrected from the dead. He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs. It wasn't just like one incident after the resurrection. It wasn't just on the road to Emmaus where he talked to them and their hearts were burning within them. And then he broke the bread and their eyes were open. They saw it was him and he vanished from their sight. And then they ran all the way back and they get into the room and he says he appeared to us. And then he appears in the room. There was many infallible proofs. I want you to get this. First of all, these men were stunned when Jesus was alive to them. And they were scared. Well, I mean, you would be too. You saw that he died. You saw that he was buried. And even though he told you he was going to rise, they didn't understand everything. And then there he is. You know, we're not much for Hollywood, but they made a movie called Risen from the perspective of a Roman soldier. And I'll tell you, one of the greatest parts for me is when that Roman soldier went in and he's looking for the disciples because he was given charge to find the body of Jesus. Right? And he goes into the room and Jesus is there alive. Because he saw Jesus dead and he knew it was Jesus sitting there alive. And he walks and he's stunned. And he kind of drops his sword. And he goes into the room and he kind of collapses on the floor. And Jesus is just smiling at him. I tell you what, I know that's Hollywood, but you know, I believe it was probably like similar to that. People were stunned to see Jesus alive, especially the ones that knew he was dead. And so, but the disciples, they had been with him 40 days. Of course, he would be with them and he'd disappear and then he'd come back. How does he do that? Why does he do that? That's not for us to know. But they knew after the 40 days that it was him and that it was with many infallible proofs he rose from the dead. And he taught them things and spoke with them and he ate with them, fellowship with them again. He said, I told you. Didn't I tell you? I had to die. Amen. And listen, this is the good time now. Because I rose from the dead.
Hallelujah. Praise the living Lord.
Praise God.
Amen.
And then we get to the place we read today where Jesus commands them. Now here's the atmosphere they're in. And Jesus says, being assembled together, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem but wait for the promise of the Father. Can you imagine now? Here's Jesus alive. And you're seeing him and you're just, I can't believe what I'm seeing, but I believe it because I'm seeing it. And he says, listen, go to Jerusalem and do not depart from Jerusalem until this event happens. Something wonderful is going to happen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Go to Jerusalem. Praise God. Wait for the promise of the Father. Didn't he promise them? Listen, I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. It's good that I go away because the Comforter's going to come back and it's better.
Amen.
It's going to be better for you.
Amen.
So now, if you had heard him say this and you're sitting there, how important would that be to you? It would be very important.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't be thinking that this is just going to be an intellectual thing.
Amen.
You knew something's going to happen. Something. When they went to the upper room, they were waiting for something to happen. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us today. Being assembled together with them, commanded them they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he saith, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water. But ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So this experience that I'm talking to you about, that Jesus is talking to them about, he says it's going to happen in a couple days. And he typed it to John, as John baptized in water. You know, when someone was baptized in water, that wasn't like an intellectual experience. You went down into the water.
Amen.
And you went down under the water, and you're covered with water.
Amen.
It was an event. It was an experience. It was something you remember.
Amen.
Praise God. As John baptized with water. For truly, John baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Praise God. And notice how Jesus said that the promise, wait for the promise of the Father. And he references what John said. You know, God promises things through his prophets. John's the one that said, I baptize you with water, but there's one coming after me that will baptize you with the Holy Ghost of fire.
Amen.
John said that. Was that John's promise? Jesus said that was the promise of the Father. Listen, people don't understand what prophets are. If they understood what a real prophet was, they'd give more respect to what he said. They would give more respect to what he said. If you understand that Brother Branham is a promised prophet from the scriptures, a vindicated prophet, his ministry was vindicated, then you would have more respect for the sermons that he preached. Oh, well, that was in the past. I already heard that one. Listen, you do not understand what a prophet is. God spoke through his prophets and made promises. Is everything he said in those sermons, thus say, Lord? I don't believe that. Because the prophets in the Bible, everything they said weren't done, say the Lord.
Amen.
Samuel goes down to the house of Jesse and he says, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. Well, that was Samuel talking.
Amen.
And Brother Branham himself said, you have to watch the human part. But there is within the midst of those things, like Brother Branham said, that rapturing faith, faith for the rapture, she's laying in the messages. I believe that. I believe that there's something special about the vindicated message of God. God looked over this man's life and ministry.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And we who follow Brother Branham's message, everybody differs, but one thing's the same. We don't want to change anything that he said. Praise God. So I caution you to get away from this attitude. I don't need to listen to those tapes. That to me, that's a disrespect. That's not understanding what a prophet is.
Amen.
There can be things laying there that will be quickened at the right time.
Hallelujah. Hey.
See, so we're looking, gleaning. You read your Bible and pray, but I do believe it would benefit you. If you yield to the heart of this message, it's not going to take you away from Jesus.
Amen.
It points you to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It'll take you away from your flesh, and many times that's why people don't want to listen to them tapes.
Amen.
Because it destroys our flesh. Right? You ever listen to a tape of Brother Branham and feel like, oh man, I was just sliced to pieces. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Anyway, praise God. So John made the promise, but it was God promising through John the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So they're waiting for something. They were instructed that John baptized with water, but not you're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days. Not hence. Not many days from now. So they're waiting in Jerusalem for the promise. And then the day of Pentecost comes. And that which they were waiting for, it happens. It happens. Praise God. What happened? They were baptized with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. They knew right then that what they were waiting for happened. See, because this experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost is not an intellectual affair.
Amen.
It's not some reasoning, some intellectual thing where you're taught and then you know, that's it. And that's just like you're in a classroom and then you're taught and then, oh yeah, yeah, I see that. That's kind of what we have around the message in the majority, is people think they got the baptism of the Holy Ghost because they intellectually accept some things. They intellectually accept that God sent a prophet. But they fail to have the full new birth in their life. Because they fail short of this experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Do you realize what the devil's always done down through the ages? He's always put false religion in between a believer and the real experience. He tried to kill people first. And when that didn't work and made them stronger, he created false religion. And that's where we got all the denominationalism from, is from the devil trying to create false religion that would give people just enough religion, but keep them from the full experience. The same things happen around this message. Amen. The devil's come and inspired people to not look for sensations.
Amen. Amen. It's good, brother. Amen.
It's intellectual. Hey, if you believe the word, you got it. The devil believes the word's the truth.
That's right.
But he don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost experience. I do believe that one of the greatest problems around the mess of the hour is people have accepted the truth of Brother Branham, but they have not been baptized with the Holy Ghost. That's a serious accusation. But I believe that is where the heart of the problems come from, because if we truly had the Holy Ghost, we would believe the same. You wouldn't have all this perversion of the gospel.
Hallelujah.
You wouldn't have people pointing away from Calvary, pointing away from Paul's gospel to some other weird intellectual ideas. The Holy Ghost leads us and guides us into the truth. So the first baptism was an experience, and every baptism since then is the same experience. Same. Let me just read that first thing, Sean, the first quote from Brother Branham, 1953, Witnesses. Just bear with me a little bit.
Hallelujah.
You know, I say this with all respects. It isn't our city full of bootleg joints that's hurting us. Here's what's hurting us more than ever is people who are professing to be Christians and not living like it. That's the thing. See, they're not a correct witness. They can't witness until they have an experience. And when they have an experience, then they become a witness automatically because they're born again. And all the things of the world, old things have passed away, and all things have become new. Then you become a witness unto Jesus. Jesus knew before the disciples could ever go out and be a correct witness that they had to experience what they were witnessing about. Wouldn't it be nice today if every seminary did the same thing? If every Christian did the same thing? Would you just come to church and say, now I'm accepting Jesus, my personal Savior. I'm going to stay right here till I get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then I'm going to be a witness, see? Things would be different. Don't you think so? We wouldn't have that loose, scattered testimonies. People testify and say they're a Christian and go out and live other lives. And the unbeliever comes in and sees that and says, well, look at there. Is that the way they... And the devil will always point them out to. See how serious it is? I know nobody here wants to profess one thing and then live another thing. Look at why, 1963, as David Duplessis once said, God don't have no grandchildren.
Amen.
That's right. Where our Pentecostal brethren are becoming, their children come into church and just say, well, we're Pentecostal because Papa was. Well, I'm in the message because I was raised in the message.
Same thing.
How many children raised up around the message just look, they look like Christians, act like Christians, then they go out into the world because they didn't have an experience.
Exactly.
Amen.
And then they got to have a real experience to really hold them. If Papa was a Pentecostal, well, we're Pentecostal because Papa was. If Papa was a Pentecostal and got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you'll have to get it the same way Papa did. He don't have grandchildren. He just has sons and daughters, not grandsons and granddaughters, just sons and daughters is true. So you've got to do the same thing they did on the day of Pentecost.
Amen.
You've got to have the same experience. You've got to have the same thing that they had. God don't ever change his program. He never changes his ways. He just does the same thing all the time. The way he lays down his program, it must toe to that each time. It's got to be the same thing. And if you'll do the same thing, the same results will come. Amen. That's right. It's an experience that you actually have and you will remember.
Amen.
See, and can you imagine people on the day of Pentecost ever forgetting the experience they had on that day? No way. When we meet God, there's no way we can ever forget that we met him. See, I love how Brother Green used to say that because he had such a big personality. He was such a physical big man. He says, you'll never forget meeting me. He said, and God's much greater than me. How could you meet God and not know you met him?
That's right.
You know, it was a good point he was making.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Something happened. Now I know he touched me.
Amen.
Woo! Something happened, and now I know he touched me.
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying this to discourage anyone. You don't catch me wrong. I want you to believe and expect you can have the same experience with God, and that God wants you to have that experience.
Amen.
God wants you to have the Holy Ghost more than you want it.
Amen.
Brother Ann said, you put a 4-foot diameter pipe in, which is pretty, that's pretty big. And you put all the water in that pipe in the world. And he said, the pressure down at the bottom would be so incredible, pushing. Now imagine a 4-foot diameter pipe with water in it, that of all the water in the world, pushing down. He said, that pressure pushing down. He said, that's how much God wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
God wants you to have the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
See, but it's a seal that you believe correctly. That you believe correctly. Oh, help us, Lord.
Amen.
It's not my desire today, and I don't believe it's God's desire that you be discouraged. It's God's desire that you believe that you can have the very same experience they had on the day of Pentecost. That you can have a Holy Ghost experience. And those of you that has experience, you know what we're talking about. And everyone who had this experience desires to have another one with God. As we said before, I never met anybody. Says, yeah, I think I have enough Holy Ghost. It's not that way.
Amen.
Jesus was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He had the Spirit without measure, and we get the Spirit by measure.
Amen.
And if you've ever tasted of the Holy Ghost, you'll hunger for him the rest of your life.
Hallelujah.
It's like that Christian author, I always forget his name, he wrote the Screwtape Letters. How many? C.S. Lewis. He had some insight. And here in the Screwtape Letters, he has like devils talking to one another and going after Christians and mess up their life. And of course, in the book, he calls God the enemy. The devils call God the enemy, right? Because God is the enemy of the devil. And one devil says to the other devil, I got to find where it says this. I know it's in there. He said, isn't it something? Can you imagine the devils talking to one another? How frustrating it must be. Isn't it something how the enemy will give those human beings a taste of himself one time, a little taste of himself, and they'll serve him for the rest of their life?
Amen.
Woo!
Hallelujah!
Oh, the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That's what we want. We want a taste and see the goodness of the Lord. Taste and see that he's good. He satisfies. He gives you that water. And when you drink of that water, you never thirst again. That's the Holy Ghost. The world doesn't satisfy. If you drink that worldly water, you just get sick to your stomach. Say, that don't satisfy. But the Holy Ghost satisfies. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, maybe in the first age it was a little easier because it was an age of innocence, really. They didn't have all the preconceived ideas that happen today. They didn't have all the false doctrines and their experience expectations weren't tainted. You see, I think of the house of Cornelius and I just think of purity. Peter wasn't expecting them to get it. They didn't even know what to expect. But they believed the gospel. And they believed it so much correctly, they were justified, sanctified, baptized with the Holy Ghost right then. Spoke in tongues and prophesied.
Yes.
Woo!
Amen.
Wait a minute. They didn't read no message books.
Amen.
They got to be under teaching for a couple million years. They got to go to purgatory. I believe in an instantaneous experience.
Amen.
I really do. I believe we can have it today.
Amen.
Today. I believe the Holy Ghost is here today.
Hallelujah.
And he wants to baptize every one of us today. But do we want it?
Amen.
I do.
That's the key.
I need it. I need him.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So we need to put out of our minds all these different ideas and man's ideas and just focus on what the Bible teaches us. Don't focus on what someone else teaches you. Focus on what the Bible says. And we're going to look at it right now.
Amen.
See, we can see from the past few weeks, justification and sanctification are works of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Received by faith.
Amen.
Does it depend on your works?
No.
Remember, here's a good example. Brother Branham had a prayer line. And Brother Branham said, there's a sainted woman. She's trying to receive healing. He said she was a sainted Christian woman. Living right, believing right, a Christian. And she's in the prayer line. You think God doesn't want to heal her? He wants to heal her. He wants her to receive healing. He already paid for it on Calvary. But see, because we get so legalistic minded, she comes in the prayer line and says, I'm not worthy, I'm not worthy, I'm not worthy, I'm not worthy. And she comes through and she misses her healing. She's focusing on the wrong thing. If the devil can get you to focus on your worthiness, you'll never get anything from God. Because none of us is worthy. All fall short of the glory of God. But in that same line was a prostitute woman. Now listen, we don't encourage that kind of behavior. We know that's deadly. It's destruction. But she come into the gospel meeting and she's living in a horrible condition. She has no works to claim. She has nothing to boast about. She's only ashamed of the life she's lived. But by faith, she says, I believe what he's talking about.
Amen.
And she's saved and healed right there.
Hallelujah.
We got to get it through our thick heads. It's not based on our works.
Amen.
How can a gift of God, a gift from God, be based on your works?
Amen.
It doesn't work that way. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Anything you need from God, you receive by faith.
Yes.
By grace through faith.
Yes.
Through faith. And that's why we can receive it today. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's not allow ourselves to be complicated. Let's make ourselves be simple. Let's not allow ourselves to think it's based on works. Let's not do that. But let's come to Jesus as little children, believing he wants to fill us, expecting God to keep his promise like a little child would his parent. A little child. And we need to be persistent with it. Have you ever had a little kid who said, but you promised? That's the way we got to do it. You promised me the Holy Ghost. You promised. Let's go to Luke chapter 11. Oh my, praise God. I feel good.
Amen.
I don't know, I feel like the devil's running.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Luke chapter 11, verse 5. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine is in a journey, he's come to me, and I have nothing set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is shut, my children are all with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say to you, Jesus is talking, I say to you, though he will not give him because he's his friend, but because of his importunity. Now, we had a whole nother service about importunity that talks about its persistence. So just hold tight. He will rise and give him as many as he needed. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you.
Hallelujah.
Who's talking here?
Jesus.
This is Jesus talking.
Amen. Amen.
Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. He that seeketh findeth. To him that knocketh it shall be opened. For a son, if a son ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him.
Amen.
I'm going to forget about all preconceived ideas. I'm going to forget about all the other teachers. This is the main teacher. Does he make it hard to get the Holy Ghost? No. Man makes it hard. Man says you got to earn it. Man says you got to cry for 3 hours at the altar and all night to get the Holy Ghost. That's right. But the Bible does not teach that. Brother Branham himself said there was no altar calls in the Bible. And I believe in altar calls, and there's a place for altar calls. But you can overuse that and make people think they're earning something. But it's a gift of God. See, I believe people can receive religious spirits too. And get up from there and walk away and change, and they're religious devils walking around putting legalism on everybody. I earned it, so you got to earn it too. I got it this way, you got to get it the way I got it. I don't care how you get it, just get it. Be like Jacob, you know. I don't care how I got to get it, I'm going to get it. I gotta get that birthright. I gotta get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I don't care. If I don't get it today, I'm gonna get it tomorrow. If I don't get it tomorrow, I'm gonna get it the next day. I gotta get the Holy Ghost because I gotta get my token because I gotta get out of here. This world's falling apart. I got no hopes in this world. And I can't help my family without the Holy Ghost, so I gotta have the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I can't help anybody. I can't help myself. I can't do anything right. I need Jesus inside of me. The mystery of God, Christ in you, is the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The mystery of God revealed in your life is the Holy Ghost in your life.
Amen.
There is nothing more important.
Amen.
Grieve not the Holy Ghost,
Amen.
Whereby you are sealed until the day of your redemption. Praise God. Praise the Lord Jesus. Jesus doesn't make it hard. He says, as a child, he says, think about you that has child. Any of you that got kids, you'd give your life for your kids. I love my children. Even the ones that don't agree with me or do things against what I believe, I still love them. I kind of like when God sets it up where the ones running away from you have to come back to you.
Amen.
Well, I got a flat tire. Can you help me out? Yes.
Amen.
I'm there.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And you help them out and you fix the flat and you get them on the road and they go, thanks. Yes, because I love you. And if I love you like that, how much more does the Heavenly Father love His children?
Amen.
How much more will He give the Holy Ghost to them that ask?
Amen.
Ask. But I did once, like 20 years ago, I asked and I didn't get it. Now, God wants you to be persistent. Remember importunity? Now, we got to watch the importance of being persistent. And I want you to catch this. And I spoke about this a few times when we're talking about prayer. God wants us to be persistent when we pray and when we ask. So we need to catch the importance of persistence. Yet because of the importunity of the example he gave, importunity means persistence in solicitation. Importunity, the state of quality of being important, urgent, persistent, sometimes annoyingly so. That's in the definition. Well, I don't want to annoy God because, you know, He's busy. No! If He promised you something and you don't have it, you need to respectfully, maybe annoyingly, keep persisting for it. That's importunity. In other words, you promised me, I got to have it. I got to have it. Please. Baptize me with the Holy Ghost. Let's go to Luke 18. It's got another good example of this. Luke 18, verse 1.
Hallelujah.
Jesus is my favorite teacher.
Amen.
Amen. The fullness of the Godhead bodily. God manifested in flesh. The great eternal one, the Jehovah of the Old Testament, is Jesus of the New.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Luke 18, verse 1. And he spake a parable to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And if you look at that word faint in the Greek, it means to be weary, to be spiritless, to be exhausted. Listen, I realize we get tired in this day. It's a tiring day. But Jesus is saying, faint not. Be persistent. Look at verse 2. I love this parable because I love how Jesus uses extremes, okay, to make a point. Like when we read in Luke, he said, if your son asked you for fish, would you give him a serpent? Can you imagine? If he asked for an egg, I love eggs, by the way, would you give him a scorpion? He's asking for food. He's asking for something he needs, nourishment. Would the Father give something that would hurt him? How much more will your Heavenly Father? He's not going to hurt us. He knows what we have need of. Don't ever believe God's going to hurt you. Now look at verse 2, Luke 18, 2. There was a judge in the city. Another extreme example. He feared not God. This judge feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city and came to him saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find works? Shall he find faith on earth? Faith is our victory. So Jesus, again, uses an extreme example to make a point. This judge fears not God nor regards man. This judge, he's not anything like our Heavenly Father, right? Who is just. This widow, someone had wronged her, and she pleaded her cause, and this unjust judge would not avenge her for a while. Why? He didn't fear God or regard man. The unjust judge did not care about this poor widow's cry, yet because she was persistent. Who's telling this story? She would not go away. She kept coming. And after a while, it was making the unjust judge weary, so he took up her cause and avenged her. What is Jesus saying? God is not unjust, but be persistent. God will hear your cry. God will keep his promise.
Amen.
And our confidence must be in that. God will keep his promise to me. Don't worry if there's a delay. There's delays all the time. God always uses delays. All through the scripture use delays. But if you keep coming and you be persistent, God will quickly come and answer.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Be persistent. We see God is encouraging us to be persistent, not to faint, not to allow ourselves to be weary, not to allow ourselves to get discouraged. When you've done your part, when you've received the gospel and you believe and you repent, and then the promise is yours.
Hallelujah.
Let's go to Acts 2:37. I want to go over that. We talked about it earlier, but let's just look at this promise here.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I'm excited.
Praise
Thank you, Jesus. I see the promise. And if you got the promise, you got it.
Amen.
When you really see the promise, you got it.
Right.
See? Because it's not on you to produce it. It's on you to believe it. Acts 2:37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and to the rest of them, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, oh, Peter, he got it. He was filled with it. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
So what's on our part? Repentance. Repentance.
Okay.
Repentance is critical. Sincere repentance. You know, you can't really repent if you don't believe it. If you don't believe the Word of God, you won't repent. If you don't believe you're a sinner, if you can't see you're a sinner, you're not going to repent. You say, hey, I'm a pretty good person. You talk to rank sinners on the street and they don't have that conviction of repentance. They're like, hey, I'm okay. I remember when I was first a Christian and my friends, you know, thought I was crazy, and they'd come to my house and I'd say, what are you going to do when you're standing in the presence of God? I said, I'll be all right. They really think that. People really think they'll be all right. But we, by the grace of God, can see our need. We can see our sin. That's the grace of God leading you to repentance, which is so critical to God.
Amen.
It's a critical part of the formula is repentance. Confess your sins. He's faithful to forgive you. So if you've repented and you know you repented with all your heart and you've been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, you have the promise.
Amen.
What did Peter say here? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You shall. Not maybe. You shall. That's a promise. Of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. We could say that today. Save yourself from this generation. Repent. Be baptized. If you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, we could put water in the pool and it could happen today. Don't put it off. If you got conviction on your heart, you've never been baptized, I believe in Christian baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, but Brother John, Jesus said, go ye therefore baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Yes, and that's exactly what we do when we baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what they did on the day of Pentecost.
Amen.
And all through the New Testament.
That's right.
It's critical, that name. There is no other name under heaven by where we can be saved. The pool's open today. Save yourself from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. And when you really believe the promise, that's just as good as what you were promised. When you got that promise, because the word is a seed, right? It will produce what is said. Brother Branham had great success in his healing ministry, and he taught God can't do anything for you until you first confess he's already done it. God cannot do anything for you until you first confess that he's already done it.
Amen. Amen.
See, that can only happen by faith. That was based on scripture, Hebrews chapter 3, right? He's the high priest of our profession. And brother, it's a profession and confession. It's the same thing. So when we confess, I'm saved by the grace of God. See, we say it because we believe it. And he was encouraging for divine healing, the same thing. He said, by his stripes, I was healed. I am healed.
Amen.
That's faith on what he did applying to our life. And he said, confess it, right? Remember the blind guy? I can see. Praise God, I can see. Praise God, I can see. But he was still blind. Listen, blind man, why don't you be quiet? You can't see nothing. Just sit down and shut up. See, that's people only looking at the conditions where they are. But we're not on the bicycle looking where we are. We're looking out where we're going.
Amen.
We're looking out at the promise and the fulfillment of the promise.
Amen.
Praise God, I'm healed.
Amen.
Praise God, I can see.
Amen.
Praise God, the Holy Ghost is mine.
Amen.
Thank you for the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
And the devil comes up to you and says, you ain't got no Holy Ghost. You know ain't. Praise God for the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Just keep praising God.
Amen.
That's what they did. That's what Brother Branham encouraged them to do. Sean, we got to put that quote up. Praising God for the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Someone told me, oh, that's your pet doctrine. I said, well, you can put that on me if you want.
Hallelujah.
I believe it's the truth.
Amen.
Based on scripture.
Amen.
He's the high priest of our profession.
Hallelujah.
See, so when you really believe it, when you really get it and you really see it, you got it. I got the promise. I believe the promise. It's mine.
Amen.
Praise God. You know, it's a testimony of this church building, too, because for many years, we gave up ever getting our own building.
Mm-hmm.
And I was asking God, begging God, asking God, please, God, please, God, give it to me. Please give us a building. God, we're tired of the YMCA. I always forget we're in here. And blah, 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 blah. Asking, begging, begging. One day, in prayer, I felt like the Lord said, you need to stop asking. Start thanking.
Amen.
And I'm like, That's different. So I remember stood up publicly behind the pulpit out in Germany or somewhere. I want to thank God for the building that he gave us. And it feels a little awkward. I admit it. It's like before my wife was converted. I would go around testifying, yeah, my wife's an unbeliever. Oh boy, piece of work, you know. Woe is me. And then I heard a sermon. My brother Perry Green passed on to be with the Lord. I can't wait to see him again, a young man. I believe I'm going to see him again. He said, he preached a sermon, say what you want it to be. Don't say what it is, say what you want it to be.
Amen.
And that struck me, and I got convicted in my heart. I said, Lord, I've been wrong about him. And a revelation quickened to me. If she was ever going to be a Christian, she was always one.
Amen.
From God's view, he doesn't look at all this ups and downs in this life. Amen. He's looking at the end. If ever she's going to be a Christian, she's always been.
Amen.
And so I started confessing. My wife's a believer, and it was awkward because she wasn't a believer, and she didn't act like a believer, but I was saying it. And my pastor, Brother Sanger, I don't know if he remembers it, that Sunday I got this revelation, and he would always greet everybody at their church, and he'd come up to me and shake my hand. I said, praise God, brother, my wife's a believer. He said, praise God, brother, because he knew her. I said, well, she don't know it yet, but she's a believer. But you know what? I have to admit, it changed my attitude towards her.
Hallelujah.
See, a lot of times we think somebody else needs a little changing when we need a little changing. Praise God.
Amen.
And then one day, she became a believer. And I was already praising God for that before it happened. And I was thanking God for this building before we got it.
Amen.
Huh? How about that?
Hallelujah.
And then we got it.
Amen.
Is that a principle?
Mm.
Praise God for the
Amen.
Outpouring of the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. This little humble group, we're a bunch of nobodies. I love that.
That's right. Amen.
We're not very big.
Yes, sir.
We're just the nobodies.
Amen.
God loves nobodies.
Amen.
Praise God that this little bunch of nobodies gets a visit with the same genuine Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, and tongues of fire hang over the people.
Amen.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
The Holy Ghost is touching the screen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right, Sean, let's read that. Expectations. See that sermon? I love these early sermons. Expectate. Oh, it's after 63. After 63. Whew, you're missing a whole bunch, brother.
Amen.
Expectations. Brother, let me tell you, brothers, the atmosphere is what does it.
Amen.
It's exactly right. You know, just before this part of the sermon, he was talking about his wife being all upset and the kids were screaming and crying, right? Remember the story in the house? People visited. His family had a hard time, let's face it. All the people coming after Brother Branham, it was hard on his wife. And she's all nervous and upset. And he comes in after everybody's gone. And she's all nervous and upset. And he just touches her and he's praying within himself. Oh, honey, it'll be okay. He starts helping her with the dishes. He said, you know, honey, I saw that dress in the window. Maybe we can get that for you. And he started, see, he had faith that the Holy Ghost in his life could calm this atmosphere. He said after a few moments, the little kids stopped fighting. They're playing the blocks together. His wife's little eyes are batting, you know. And he said, it's the atmosphere that brings the results. And then he goes into this quote. It's exactly right. Look, it's not the hen that hatches the egg. It's the atmosphere. That's right. Yes, sir. Is that right? You put the egg under a pup, it would hatch a chicken just the same. Put it in an incubator, it'll bring forth a chicken just the same. It's the atmosphere. Hallelujah. What we need, woo, is a Holy Ghost atmosphere.
Hallelujah.
Is that right? An atmosphere where the power of God's moving, one accord, one place, gathered together under the atmosphere of expecting God to move down and do signs and wonders. Amen. Let's move ourselves up into that bracket. Step up in faith. Move out of these three dimensions into the next one. Say, Lord, I'm just believe that you're going to pour out your blessings. I'm expecting it now. All things are moving right in, and I'm expecting to see the exceedingly abundantly now. I'm expecting it. And when you go, you come down and say, if you come down and say, well, I don't know about it. Well, you see, you hurt the other person. Now you're sitting by one of them. You say, oh Lord, just tear them down. I'm just expecting great things, see? And that expectancy will get that unity amongst the people, among the people. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. What brought the Holy Ghost in the first place. They went up there and they stayed 10 days and nights. And they were, until they were all in one place with one accord, blessing God for something that they did not have. Woo-hoo-hoo!
Hallelujah.
Pet doctrine. That's my pet doctrine. Is that right? They was thanking God for the Holy Ghost that never come yet.
Amen.
But they, this brother had some insight, okay? We're talking about eagle vision.
Sir.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
But they had it in seed form. Like if I'd say, wonder if an acorn tree would have grown down here. You'd say, well, I guess it would. And I give you an acorn. I'd say, I give you an acorn tree. And you say, all right, Brother Branham, well, we'd like to try and see if an acorn will grow down here in my backyard. And you'd say, I'm going to put it in the right kind of soil, just like you got up in the north. I'm going to see if it'll grow. All right, now, if you put this acorn I give you, and you say, well, Brother Branham, you said you'd give me an acorn tree. I said, I did. Well, how do you give me an acorn? You've already got the tree already. It's in seed form. Is that right? You've got the tree already. It's in seed form. And that's the way we have to get it, in the seed form. All in one accord, one place. They was blessing God for the Holy Ghost, which had never come yet. But they believed that it was, because God was going to keep his promise. And when, favorite part highlighted in red, and when they kept blessing God until the atmosphere just got just right,
hallelujah.
Then there came a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind and filled all the house where they were sitting. See, the atmosphere got right.
Amen.
Oh, couldn't we get an atmosphere here that every crippled, every blind, every sick person, everything with one accord believing until the sick. I seen that last week in Wood River, where there wasn't one person left. They just piled up the crutches and wheelchairs and cots. I was standing at the platform preaching like this, and they just begin to rise up and throw them to the corners. The atmosphere got right. Oh, brother, God, send us an atmosphere that'll make it one accord, one place. Let the power of God surge down through that atmosphere. Gets right, it opens up, moves back every cog, everything. The law of God will move.
Amen.
We'll cut it there, Sean. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. My sins are gone.
Amen.
Where are they?
US.
Where are your sins? They're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
As far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. You ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. Let's all stand. And when I meet the scoffers who ask me where they are, I say, my sins are gone. There underneath the blood on the... Hallelujah! as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In that sea, in the sea of God, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. 'Twas at the old time altar where God came in my heart. And now, right now, my sins are gone. The Lord took full possession. The devil did depart. I'm so glad my sins are gone. Where'd they go? There underneath the blood. Hallelujah. As far removed as darkness is from dawn, is from dawn in the sea. God, forgetfulness good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. When Satan comes, he tries to tempt me. He tries to make me doubt. I'm going to say, my sins are gone. You got me into trouble. Jesus got me out. I'm so glad my sins are gone. There underneath the blood, the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn, in the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. I'm living now for Jesus. I'm happy night and day because my sins are gone. My soul is filled with music with all my heart. Can you say it? I know my sins are. Hallelujah. There underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary. Oh, as far removed as darkness is from dawn, in the sea of God's forgetfulness, good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. There underneath the blood on the cross, that darkness, in that sea of God's forgetfulness, praise God, my sins are gone. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Worthy are you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for my sins are gone. Thank you for justification. Thank you for sanctification. Thank you for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Thank you for the latter rain, oh God. Thank you for pouring out your Spirit. Thank you for living inside of us, overcoming every day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. My sins are gone. You know, I was thinking of that story of that old man. You know, he was just a shout all the time, praise God for what he'd done. And his kids were embarrassed of them, and they were having people over. So they said, what are we going to do with Papa? He's just shouting all the time. We got to take his Bible away from him. Because when he reads the Bible, he shouts. He said, oh, we'll put him up in the attic, and we'll take his Bible away from him. Because we're having a party, and we got dignified people coming over. And we can't have Papa shouting and screaming. Oh, I love this story. And he's up there, and they give him a National Geographic, and he's reading the National Geographic, and he looks, and he starts shouting. And they hear chaos up there. He's dancing around, shouting. And they go up there, what's the matter? We took your Bible away. We just blocked you up here. He said, yeah, but I found in here there's a sea they can't find the bottom of. Oh, the sea of God's forgetfulness. That's good enough for me. Praise God. My sins are gone. Oh, there was nothing wrong with that old man. He could say something. There's nothing wrong with people that shout and scream and praise God. They see something, brother, sister. May it get on every one of us. Hallelujah. I'm happy today. I'm happy today because I see something. I see something. Our labors are not in vain. Standing for God in this day is not in vain. People can walk away from the message of the hour if they want. Standing for the truth is not in vain. God will vindicate his own truth. We don't have to defend anything. God will vindicate. You know what the last showdown will be? There's coming another showdown like Mark Carmel. There was Elijah up there with all the false prophets. And he said, let's make altars. And it was a Mount Carmel showdown. And the God that answers by fire, that's the one that's going to be God. And all the fussing and all these other false prophets did and everything didn't produce nothing. Elijah was so sure, he dumped water on the sacrifice again and again and again. And the water run over and it was out in the pit. And he said, I've done all this at thy command. He knew where he stood. He saw something before. Lord, let them know. I did this at your command. And fire comes down and consumes the sacrifice and licks up the water in the side. Whoa! Amen. God knows how to vindicate what's right. Amen. There's coming another Mount Carmel showdown. And this is going to be God says, many people say they're my bride, but I'm going to show you who my bride is because I'm going to take her out of here. Amen. The rapture is the next showdown. Don't you want to be part of that? There is nothing more important than that. Let's bow our heads to him. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, your prophet told a story about a little washwoman. She didn't count herself worthy, but she was chosen for her character. Lord, we know there's nothing good in us, Lord. But we love you, Lord Jesus, and we want to be part of that end time bride, that catching away, Lord. We need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I believe some here have the Holy Ghost, but Lord, every one of us needs it again and again and again. Oh, may it be the first time for some, may it be the 100th time for others, but Lord, just baptize with this your spirit. Be pleased to dwell, oh God. Bless us, Lord, O God. Pour out your spirit among us, O God. How we need you, Father. Cleanse us from the inside out. Just pour out that fire as John baptized with water. You baptize us with the Holy Ghost and fire. Grant it, O God. We love you, Lord Jesus. We're expecting you to come. We'll be expecting every minute, every day. Lord, we're going to be persistent, Lord. You taught us to be persistent. You taught us to keep coming like the parable of the unjust judge. We know you won't be offended, Lord, when we keep coming and keep coming and keep asking and keep thanking and praising you for it. Oh, Lord Jesus, bless everyone here, Lord. Save the lost in our midst. Lift up the hands that hang down. Lord, if there's a backslider, Lord, may today be the day they're quickened, oh God, and they get back in line. Get back into the fold. Lord, help us all make a commitment to you, Lord, because you made a commitment to us. Thank you for the promise of the Holy Ghost, of salvation, of healing. We thank you for it. We thank you for doing all those things. I thank you for healing those here in the midst that need healing. I thank you, Lord, for healing our bodies and our spirits and pulling us away, casting out devils that are hindering us. Lord, casting out wrong desires, Lord. Help us, Lord, to feed on your word, oh God. Oh God, we need you, Lord, today. Bless you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you for this today. May we not forget, Lord, what you promised us. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. 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 There's a song I wanted to sing. I think it's number 36, maybe. Showers of Blessing. Is that right, Sean? Thank you, Sean. There shall be. I like that. Yeah, Brother Jamie.
I just want to share a testimony.
Yes.
Yesterday, I had some drywall delivered to Java Northeast on Friday. I was there with Renee. We were putting insulation on the wall. So the drywall came after I had left. so Saturday I couldn't find nobody to help me bring the drywall into the house. So I got up early in the morning, and so I went to put the drywall, but the house was really hot. It was closed the whole night. And so, like, I'm taking drywall up to the second floor, and then my breathing started to get real, real heavy, and I was dehydrating. You know, so I had stopped. And I had to put like 30 sheets in, like 60 sheets were delivered. So I went down to the Wawa, and I got some Gatorade to cleanse myself, and I ate something. I drank some more water, so I felt rejuvenated. Well, when I come back, the first one I lift, I wrench my back.
Wow.
You know, so I'm like, and I'm sweating, and, you know, something I'll never do, but I said, Lord, forgive me. So I took my shirt off because it was just bothering me. So I went in and I dropped down on my knees, I'm leaning up, and I was crying out to the Lord, Lord, just give me strength. Because then it started to rain. And I didn't want the drywall to get damaged. You know? It just, man, I'm like, Lord, just give me the strength to finish this.
Amen.
It's just at the beginning of the week, I had taken in me and some other guy, like 138 sheets in the first second floor, so my body was like,
amen.
And I dropped to my knees, and I'm asking the Lord to give me strength. So I get up, and it's just this. I felt like Samson.
Amen.
Tower came over me.
Praise God.
And I'm outside. I got put my cap on. I got no shirt on. I said, Lord, forgive me, you know, man, because it just. And I'm just start putting it in. It's just like, I'm like, God, what's happened to me, you know?
Amen.
So I bring it, and but my back was still hurting it. You know, I didn't feel it. I guess, you know, the adrenaline pumping now, you know.
Yeah.
So at nighttime, around 6 o'clock, I end up at Dunkin' Donuts. There's some Pentecostal brothers there, Brother Ray's there, and then this brother from Florida, he comes and he's trying to down the message and saying that Brother Brandon started the movement of Jesus Only, and he was at a Haitian church, and they were worshiping the cloud. And
right.
So I let him talk, and then I just bowed my head and said, Lord, you know, you speak to me. I don't want to say something out of anger, you know, so I just sit back, and then the Spirit of God got a hold of me, and I started to tell him, you know, and it was
amen.
Just like, God unveiling the devil, and you're a liar, you know what I mean?
Amen.
And in the midst of that, I'm, you know, this inspiration came over me, and I get up, and I'm like, praise the Lord. The Lord is healing my back. I'm running back and forth.
Praise
and
God.
They're looking at me, what's wrong with this guy? And I'm like, praise
God.
God has healed my back. The pain had gone. You know?
Wonderful. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Thank God. Amen. It's real.
Amen.
Holy Ghost power.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And one more thing, Brother John. But as I came here, I was listening to the message, Expectations. So I knew something special was going on.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Expectation. You get what you expect, right?
Amen.
There shall be showers of blessing. Appreciate that, Brother Jamie. Amen. There shall be showers of blessing. This is a promise of love. Oh, there shall be season refreshing sent from the sea.